Okay, tonight is the 91st year in Das Tefillah, and we are in the middle of the fourth chapter, actually towards the end of the fourth chapter, getting pretty far, and we are looking at how Avoda, which is defined as Tefillah and Korban, right? There are only two things that are specifically defined as Avoda. Tefillah and Korban. And those things, Das Tefillah has explained to us, have to play a central role in how we serve God and why we serve God. Every mitzvah is equal, but certain mitzvos, which are termed avoda, are more central to what we are here for, to what God created the world for. And last week we reviewed that the various opinions of why God created the world in the first place tie into the different explanations of what tefillah does. That somehow tefillah plays a central role in accomplishing whatever it is that God created the world for. Okay, good. So what we said last time was that the Ramchal suggested that there is a third very deep reason as to why God created the world, because he wanted his unity to be revealed. He wanted his unity to be revealed. He wanted Yichud Hashem. He wanted it to be revealed that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way that is imperfect, in a way that it seems that other forces reign, whether it's chaos, whether it's evil, whatever it is, in order so that one day we should be able to lift that veil and it be proven that even the things that we thought were the furthest from God being in charge, he was actually in charge of those things all along. Can everybody still hear me? Okay, good. So what he said we're going to do is we're going to look at all of the ways in which people misunderstand how God's control. We're going to look at all of the ways that people mistakenly think that there are other things that run the world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we're going to show how in each case we put a little piece back into place when we daven. We reveal another square. We put things, we rectify these mistakes somehow when we daven. Okay? So, Perek Tes. Toeles avodas hakorban v'hatfila. The purpose of the service of korban and tefillah, be'inyan hora'at yichud ha-borei yisparach b'briya, in terms of showing that there's only one God in the world. Chamesh avos deos kozavos. Five different mistaken thoughts. Hispashtu ba'olam me'az b'riyaso ve'ad olam. So this is obviously going to be a very wide-reaching hashkafic discussion. And this comes based on the thought of Ramchal and the Das Tevunos. There are five assumptions. There are five mistaken assumptions that crept into the man's, into the mind of mankind since the world has been created. Deos elu misgalgalos be'ofanim u'mehavim shonim lifnei lifi hazman ve'amakom. And exactly how this particular mistake plays out, it depends on the place, depends on the time, but all of mistaken beliefs about God all come down to five things that we're going to study together. Hatzad hashovesh shebehem hu, I hakara biyichudo yitbarach. What they have in common is the lack of understanding that God is one, everything comes from God, there's only one God, and it all comes back to one. Navi deot elu kafishim evaram haram chalsham. I'm going to bring I'm going to bring, he says.
Looks like he's back on.
Without a picture. Partial.
Okay. Sorry, those listening on.
How's the baby?
Those listening on the recording, we're having a little trouble with the internet tonight. We back on? I think so. Okay, good. So he says, I'm going to bring these five different mistakes according to the way that they're explained by the Ramchal. Unevayer heich b'maseh avodas hakorbanos v'atfila mevatei upoel oved Hashem et tipucha. And we're going to show how by the mere fact that I daven, by the mere fact that I say a bracha, I'm correcting one of these fundamental things that have crept into the world. The problem that most of us face is not that everything we're going to say now is such a big chiddush, because once we see what some of the mistakes are, it's going to be clear how davening is a correction. But it's hard to imagine how my little tiny correction in Holliswood, in Riverdale, in wherever I'm watching this from, could possibly make a difference. There's so much mistaken thought. There's so much darkness. There's so much evil. There's so much chaos. How could I, by davening in my little corner of the world, how could I possibly be making a difference? But that's what I'm asked to do. U'megale ba'avodaso es yichudo yisparach. And I reveal with my service the oneness of God. And once we do this, we're going to see a deeper depth than we even thought. Why serving God directly is one of the Ikare Hamuna, one of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith. It actually is a very strange thing we'll have to get to. The Rambam has lots of principles of faith. There's one God. God created everything. And one of the 13 principles of faith is that I must pray directly to God, not to any of the angels, not to any of the planets, not to anything like that. And it's very difficult to understand how that is a principle of faith rather than a command or a prohibition. But we'll describe that. Od Mahamudim Shabishvila Nivra Olam. Okay, good. Vaiter. Can you still hear me? Okay, we're going to try to do the rest. We'll try to do the rest from my phone without the screen in front of me. Maybe it'll work better. Someone's coming to look at the internet, so hopefully we're going to get this fixed soon. Okay, so you'll have to take my word that this is what it says. Toes of the first, so what he, again, what he's trying to do, what we're trying to get through, Hashem, please help us to have this shir. What we're trying to do is we're trying to understand all of the mistakes that were made by people since the beginning of the time. At the beginning of time, Adam HaRishon, we believe, understood there was a God. He understood the place of God. Noah, it seems, probably understood that. Avram Avinu understood that. But over time, everything got messed up despite these points of light. So what were they mistaken? So he said, we're going to point out five different mistakes that were made. The first he calls the mistake made by the idol worshippers. That's what he calls the first. The first is the mistake of idol worship. He quotes the Ramchal in the Das Tvunos, who says, Choshvu shaKadosh Baruch Hu na'aleh min hadvarim hashefalim ve'eino mabit bahem. The first mistake that people made, and the reason why they made it, was they couldn't believe that God could care about everyday people and everyday things. And that's something we all struggle with on a regular basis. They couldn't believe that despite the fact that God created the world, they couldn't believe that once he got it started, he didn't hand it off to somebody else. Everybody knows that when you start multiple companies or multiple things, you get it going, and then you find somebody who's going to run it. It can't be, maybe it was a grand thing to create the world, but once God created the world, it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the everyday goings on of everything in every place across the entire earth, right? So therefore, v'yesh acherim tachtav, heim heima kochvei hashamayim v'chisleim, sarayim v'chol tzva'am. It must be that God gave over power to something beneath him. And what was that, believed the ancients? The planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, etc. The original idol worship, and the Rambam makes the same claim as the Ramchal here, the original idol worship was assuming that these great things in the sky must be the things that on a day-to-day basis are running the world. Because it's impossible that God, who is completely spiritual, cares about what goes on here on a day-to-day basis. Shehem ha-mashkichem ba'olam. And therefore, fa'al kein he'emidu lahem avodot. And then, because of that, they started worshiping them, and they started building altars to them, and they started sacrificing to them, and bringing incense to them, in order to help them out, in order to be able to have life go well. What's the problem with what they did? So I would have thought the problem is that they ascribe power to these things. But that's not exactly what he says. He says it's simple that believing that another thing has original power, its own power, veto power, right? We also have power. The question is, where do we get our power from? The sun is very powerful. You don't have to say the sun has no power. But the sun receives its power from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no doubt, says the Sefer, that if you actually believe that there's another God out there, that's kfirah, that's heresy. What we're talking now is the mistake of serving these other entities. Even though I could still believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and I still believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately runs the world, but I do believe in some sense that he's not going to be involved with me enough that I can serve him directly. As the Rambam says, Ikar atzivui b'avodas l'kochavim, shelo la'avod echad mikol habruim. The Rambam writes, the main prohibition of avodas kochavim is not in the mind. It's in serving one of these things. Not an angel, not a star, not a planet, and none of the different physical things in the world. And nothing that's been created. Even though I know that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that runs the world. Even if I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu up there is ultimately the one that runs the world. But if I think that in some way I can't access him directly. If I think somehow he's not connected to the things down here in a direct way. Yeah, ultimately he runs everything. But he's not actually involved in the day-to-day. He must have given that over to somebody else, to something else. That's what Avodah Zarah is, right? B'hafnayat ha'avod le'kochavim u'mazalot, yeshna pegia be'emunat hayachid. And therefore, he says, When I serve a star, when I pray to the sun, I take away from the all-consuming power and unity of God. It's not that God has a star that he puts in charge. It's not that God wants to be worshiped through a star. God has a direct relationship with me, and I'm supposed to have a direct relationship with God. And when I throw something else in the middle, when I put a barrier, when I put a messenger, when I put something like that between me and God, when I don't have a direct relationship with him, I'm taking away from the fact that he's the one that controls everything and he is the one that is everything. Umemela misbateles ha'efsharut l'tikun habriya al yedei yichuda u'dvekuta v'borei yitbarach. And when I make that mistake, when I ascribe something to anything but God, I'm basically wrecking the purpose of the world. Not just making a little mistake, not just making an error, which we all make. I'm taking away from the fundamental read. The world is broken, and it looks like God is not directly involved. When I reinforce that, I make the world a darker place. When I fight against that, and I say, no, I believe that there's nothing else but him, it's then I turn over that square, I turn over that thing, and I reveal, ding, a little bit of light in this tiny portion of the world. And it's not just stam a game. It's the reason this game of playing hide and seek with God, this effort to slowly reveal and pronounce that everything that happens is from him, is the purpose for the creation of the world in the first place. There are lots of games within that game. I'm trying to get my own Olam Haba. And there's a Nick game. And there's a Warriors game. And there was a baseball game. There are lots of games going on inside. But the game that everything comes to is this game, so to speak, of hide and go seek with the Ribono Shel Olam. To reveal moment by moment by moment that everything is him. What exactly are the components of this mistake? So number one, he writes, the first component of the mistake is to say that God has given over power to other things and that he himself is not watching over and is not accepting our avoda. In other words, number one mistake is that there's a distance between us. And that he's not directly controlling our lives, and he's also not directly, we're not directly interfacing with him when we pray. Kfira be'emuna she'abore ha'mahave she'hu bala kochos kulam, hu gam ha'adona mashkiach ha'kol yitzurim, which means that any normal person, he says, believes that God created the world. But as soon as I begin to think that things happen here not because of him, or things happen here that other forces are controlling, or that he doesn't care whether I serve him and he doesn't want to hear from me directly. If I would say he's interested, he's turned over that to the sun, and I should speak to the sun about it, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. But it's the same basic idea, right? I can't be dealing with every problem you have. I can't be dealing with that, right? We all have to do that on some level. Can't be dealing with every problem, everything, everything. It's got to be somebody in charge of that, right? So who's in charge of that? Tammy, yes.
What was the point of him creating Malachim?
So we'll have to see.
Who's in charge of everything, and he does everything, but then...
Right, so we'll have to see. We'll yet see exactly what the place of Malachim. But it does beg that question. It does beg that question. It really begs the question of what is a malach, right? What is a malach and how does Hashem use it? So he says, how is this fixed through avoda? How is this fixed through the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So remember what he said before. We said, what is a korban? A korban is taking a physical thing and connecting it all the way back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A korban, the idea of a korban is to take a very physical thing, a cow. A cow looks like and smells like it's probably very far away from the creator of the universe. Grain that comes from stalks that grew God knows where all over the earth doesn't seem like that can be directly connected with Hashem. We said that when the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen is offering the Korban Tamid, he's thinking how all of these things out there and the world, when he has a little bit of wine to pour, but he's thinking of all of the grapes that exist in the world, and he's taking them and he's connecting them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's thinking of all the animals that are there in the world, and he's imagining that somehow they're directly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word korban doesn't mean to sacrifice. The word korban means to bring close. And we always thought that the word korban, who's being brought close? We're being brought close. Through the medium of the korban, we get closer to God. It's much deeper than that. When I take all of these physical things and I connect them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I connect them? By giving them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By saying, these are all from you. This is all part of you. I take the physical world and the spiritual God and I say, there is no separation between the two of you. This cow is 100%. I bring the cow. I put the cow connected to you because there's nothing down here that's not from him. And I don't care how dark it may seem, and I don't care how physical it may seem, I don't care how evil it may seem. Everything ultimately stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'kach lo nizgar b'parshas ha-karbanos shum shem b'shmosav ha-kadoshim el ha-shem havaya. And we said that this is just bringing together things we learned a couple of months ago. The Ramban points out that the only name of Hashem that's used in reference to the Korbanot is Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Yud and He and Vav and He, which is the one who makes everything, always, past, present, future. What we do when we bring a sacrifice is we connect these earthly things and we say there is no separation. There is no intermediate. There's nothing in between. Ki'ilu yeshno od koach rishus ba'olam milvado. Right? We shouldn't think, the reason why we keep using this same name, that Hashem is everything, is because the whole purpose of the korbanos is to show that there's no other force except Hashem. Zahu tochan hapnimi shel hora'at avodat ha-korban v'hatfila b'inyan zu. And that is the inner meaning of how a korban or a tefillah works in this way. That there is no purpose in turning to any other source because God is the source of everything. And not only is God the source of everything, he wants to hear from us and he wants to hear from us directly. Do you ever wonder if there's something too small to bother a Kadosh Baruch Hu with? You ever think that there's something that, wow, come on, what does he need that for? The big things, I'm praying for Mashiach, I'm praying for somebody to get healthy, I understand God cares about that. But the littlest things, the tiniest things, and then I say to myself, God couldn't possibly care about that. That's when we have to pray. Because the point of prayer is to connect the tiniest things down here with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to say that whatever it is that I need down here, he's the one source. And the smaller and more insignificant the thing is, the more powerful my tefillah is. That's what I'm saying. The more mundane, the more ordinary, the more the more mundane and ordinary and simple these things are, the more I lift up those things And the more I reveal a square in a more difficult place, when I connect it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're about to end, but can everybody hear me? I'm so sorry about all the problems tonight with the connection. Send your complaints to Verizon, although I'm sure the Ribbono Shel Olam, for some reason, wants me to think about this shir more. That's why he keeps cutting this thing off. Tammy, what were you going to say?
I just find it very interesting and comforting that that's the name that we use when we bring Korban out, because that's the Shem of Chesed. It's the Shem of connection, of like Ahava. It's not...
Well, it's actually the name of Rachamim. It's the name of Rachamim, right? We pointed out that Rachamim is really about connection. Rechem, Rechem, from the mother. It's connection. So yes, Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name of connection that he has with us.
Just it's comforting. It's comforting to connect that.
Right, right. But that's what he wants us to know. He wants us to know that whatever happens to us is the same as a baby inside the womb of a mother. What do you mean it doesn't have anything to do with me? Okay, what do you mean it has nothing to do with me? It is completely inside of me. It is completely because of me. It is completely connected to me physically, spiritually, and otherwise. And I just read a fascinating piece from the Maharal. But the Maharal, in one of his Shabbat Shuva drushes, talks about the fact that why do we start off in the womb? I mean, like, what is that? It could have just had us, it would have been a lot easier for the moms too. So part of it was the curse for whatever reason. But why did he set it up exactly this way? So he said that the womb is the idyllic state that we're supposed to actually continue after we get out of the womb. It's a sense of lacking nothing. It can sense of being content. It's a sense of being completely surrounded by water, by spirituality. Talks about learning Torah, all those things in the Gemara Nida that talk about that state. So yes, we are supposed to feel that way, but it's so difficult to feel that way. So that is what we're supposed to remember, that the more mundane the thing is, the more of a mitzvah it is to connect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Think of two brachos. The bracha that we say every 28 years on Birchas Achama, and the bracha we say, you know, not 28 times a day, but 10 times a day of Asher Yatzar. Right? Which one is a greater glorification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Connecting the creation of the sun to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or connecting the bathroom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what he's saying. It's specifically in the areas that we wouldn't necessarily naturally connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically the things that we ask him for that are very mundane. That's where we say, no, even this is from you. Even this is connected to you. Even this, I will rescue from this world of darkness. I'll pluck it out of this world of darkness. And I will say, aha, I see you. You're there. You're here. You're behind all of this. It's a constant game, all 24/7 of hide and go seek. And what we're reminded and what we'll end with is that for some reason, my little game of hide and go seek is critical to the purpose for why the world was created. And even if I can't fix wars and famine and disasters and heresy, even if I can't fix all those things, I could fix my little tiny area and I can connect everything within arm's length back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's our job. Okay, hopefully next week with better internet connection, we will we'll be in touch, okay? Have a good week, everybody. Kol Tov.
Thank you. Thank you.